psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson, the voice you trust for the family you love.
To reach out to children that have absolutely nothing and to provide for them, and I mean, that's God's work.
You ought to be asking the question, is this true or is this just what I was taught?
Remember that these men and women in prisons all around the world are human beings. Mm-hmm. God loves them.
This is Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, along with Ryan Dobson and Luann Crane.
Well, last time we had the privilege of listening to a man we are dear friends with, former linebacker Dr. Ken Hutcherson. He has been battling prostate cancer since 2002, but what an amazing faith he has shown through it all.
He sure has. Dr. Dobson, he is such an example for all of us.
Well, we heard it last time when I had the opportunity to interview Dr. Hutcherson, or Hutch as I call him. He talked during that interview about having prostate cancer, which has now metastasized, and how he has struggled day in and day out, not only with the sickness itself, but with the chemotherapy treatments that have assaulted his entire body. Hutch called cancer his pastor. I have to tell you, Luann and Ryan, it is difficult at times for me to identify with his positive perspective, given the difficulties he's gone through. He is so confident in his faith despite the intense suffering. He seems even eager to experience this illness because it makes him more like Christ. Dr. Hutcherson has written about these feelings at length in his new book, Hope is Contagious, Trusting God in the Face of Any Obstacle, which I'm reading now, and I find it just captivating. And we do have that book available for anyone who would like a copy, especially those who are going through a hard time.
Or know someone who's going through a hard time. Oftentimes, we don't know how to handle that, and this will help.
Well, and I'm not even going through one of those hard times, and yesterday I indicated it's been of great benefit to me. I hope people do contact us very quickly, 1-877-732-6825, to find out more.
Well, today we're going to hear the second interview that we conducted with Dr. Hutcherson in his office. And this time we're going to talk about his childhood and how he came to know the Lord and from whence cometh that faith. How'd he come about it? It's an amazing story, and it's wonderful to examine the man he's become when you consider what he's been through. It makes me feel a little guilty for feeling so good at this stage of my life, and leads me to say, there but for the grace of God go I.
He is such an amazing inspiration. A little introduction before we get started, Doctor. Dr. Hutcherson is the senior pastor at Antioch Bible Church, where we were able to visit Dr. Dobson there in Kirkland, Washington. He and his wife, Pat, have four kids. We're going to hear a little bit more about them later. Hutch really has taken a huge stand for righteousness in the state of Washington, Ryan.
That's right. He is truly an amazing man of faith. Let's hear now the discussion you had with him, Dad, just about a week ago, which was recorded in his office in Washington State.
Well, Hutch, it's great to be back in your office again. I love talking to you. It is something that just comes natural. We could spend a month without even stopping, couldn't we?
It'd be easy for me.
You know what I'd like to do this time? I would like to go back for those who haven't heard the journey that mm-hmm. you've been on, mm-hmm. and talk about it. You were born in Alabama.
Oh, born in and hated people. I grew up where blacks was not thought of as humans. Human beings, we was looked at as low, indolent, not for good, for nothing itself.
Did you know that? Did you understand that was the way you were perceived?
Because you were reminded right? every day, you know, and you was even reminded by other blacks that you had to keep your position and don't lose who you are, because it's very dangerous, and whites will kill you if they get the chance. And I remember having to go to the back of the bus. I mean, every day you reminded you wasn't a first-class citizen. I remember three bathrooms, you know, white males, white females, and colored. And the only time that I was ever taken to the doctor was because I was so sick I couldn't function. so my mother would take me. And sometimes I had to go 3 days in a row, Doc, because as long as there was white patients at Dr. Cathy's office, he wouldn't see blacks. And so sometimes, you know, we'd go 2 or 3 days before I could get in to see the doctor.
The effect of that was to make you very bitter
viciously angry.
And you were big enough to defend yourself.
Very. The one thing I learned real quick was my uncle, he said, listen, there's no good white person except a dead one. And you got to understand, if you're ever going to succeed in life, you can't be equal with the white man you're competing with. You got to be 2-3 times better. And from that day on, I told him, I said, if you ever put your hand on me again, I'm going to kill you somehow. I'm going to wait till you go to sleep. And he said, that's the attitude you got to have. And that was one of the reasons why later on in life I played football, because you could hurt white people legally.
Now, Hutch, that attitude, though, began to be a problem for you.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, you can imagine if hatred is your greatest motivation, after a while, you don't like anything. You know, you don't even like yourself. And I remember my grandmother was the only thing that kept me sane as a young boy. I mean, she was the apple of my eye. I didn't like my mom very much at that time because, you know, being a young boy, she had to work. And she got this big old boy to take care of, so she's gone a lot. So I spent a lot of time with my grandmother. And I'm the only child. My mother never had another one. I was 12 pounds when I was born. And so I think she was afraid to have any more because the next one could have been bigger. So I was spoiled in that way, but it was always with Grandma. And I loved her. And we had one of the most dysfunctional families, Doc, you've ever seen in your life. My grandfather would come home every Friday drunk. From Friday evening, when he got home from work, to Sunday night, it was drinking and fighting. And I've seen him hit my grandmother, knock her down like a man. And the weekend was a time for a black man to show off his frustration for how he's been treated in America, in Alabama. And I knew that was coming from my grandfather. I knew it wasn't him. It was the only frustration he had and the only way to get rid of his frustration. And because we talked about it all the time. And doing that Monday through Friday, he was the greatest grandpa in the world. The alcohol was a demon brew, you know?
Yeah, well, it was for my wife's father too, so
yeah,
I understand that.
It was amazing.
Now, how do we get from this bitter, angry black young man, big, strong, powerful young man, to the loving guy I see today, to a man that I consider to be one of my very best friends, to a man that I admire as much as anybody I know? How did that transformation occur?
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing, Doc, that I believe God had his hand on me from the day I was born. That was a plan that he had, I know. When I was, my goodness, 5 years old, I remember sitting down and had a variety show with Roy Rogers and Dell Evans. And I wanted to watch it because of the animals. I didn't like people, but I loved animals. And I wanted to see Trigger and Bullet. So I'm sitting, I'm watching this program, and he and Dale start talking about that little girl dying. And they wrote the book Angel Unaware.
Yes.
And they talked about the little girl they believe went to heaven. I mean, you know, how many years? I mean, you're 5 years old, and you can, like it was the day that I heard it. And they said, and we know she's going to be in heaven. We think the age of accountability is 12, and that everyone is going to meet God. And you're going to have to say to God, what are you going to do? Are you going to accept me or reject me? And that stuck with me for years. Scared me to death as a little boy that Roy Rogers and Dale Evans had to answer to this God guy. I thought God was someone that walked around, and one day he walks up to you and says, I'm God, what are you going to do with me? And up until the age of accountability, and I'm scared to death. I mean, every year I ask, how old am I? How many more years I got before I'm 12? And
did you go to church during that time?
No, oh no. I had nothing to do with church. I mean, the only church I saw was white people who treated me bad. See? So I didn't trust church. I didn't trust God. And so I just had a very hard, difficult time believing in a loving God. And it wasn't until, Doc, I was 16, and I'm sitting in a high school assembly. Life was just terrible. And I remember back what Roy Rogers and Dell Evans said, 11 years earlier. And I said, God, Roy Rogers and Dell Evans said that I got to face you one day. And this is going to be the day. If you're real, here I am. I'm yours. And you got a chance to do whatever you want with me. I got up to that assembly. School was out. I went home, Doc. I picked up a Bible and did not put that Bible down studying for 5 straight years. Because I knew one thing. I knew how to please my coach. Yeah. God became a coach. I knew if I was going to please my coach, I better know the playbook. I said, God, the Bible's your playbook. I knew you didn't change the plays if you're going to please your coach. I said, you wrote it this way, this is the way it is. And you're better than anyone else to be on first team. And that was the 4 things I put in my Christian life. It says, God, you'll never have to worry about me saying it didn't work because I didn't give it 100%. And for 5 years, I spent 4 to 6 hours a day studying the Bible.
Do you have any mentor? You have a preacher?
No.
You have anybody who talked you through the Word?
No. Everyone was afraid of me. And I remember the first time I made one of the Campus Crusade guys speak to me. And they had a prayer breakfast, and I showed up. And it was kind of like Apostle Paul coming in, trying to catch all these guys who were going to beat them up as Christians. So no one was sitting next to me. So I went over sitting next to the head guy of Crusade and pinned him in kind of. So he had to say something to me. And he says, I see you at the prayer breakfast. I go, yeah. I'm not going to make it easy on him, right? I go, yeah. He says, how long you been a Christian? I said, I don't know, about 4 months. 4 months? I go, yeah. I told God he can have my life about 4 months ago. Wow. And who's helping? I go, no one's helping. I'm studying on my own. I said, you know what? And God's doing a pretty good job. And that's how I committed to study the Bible, because that was the playbook.
You know, from a human point of view, just looking at you outside, the probabilities of you making that kind of commitment to the Lord were zero.
Yeah.
I mean, from a human point of view.
Right.
Looking at you coming from a home that didn't honor God.
Right.
You hadn't been taught. You haven't been to church. He didn't have a pastor. He didn't have a counselor. Was no youth minister
right. That
was leading you. You were angry. You were bitter. You had an alcoholic grandfather. You had everything going against you. And yet you made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and kept it and lived by it and are out there trying to serve him today.
There
can only be one thing
that'll
explain that.
Yeah.
He wanted you.
He wanted me bad. You know the thing that really got me? And I remember when I said, God, I'm yours. I went to pick up the Bible, start reading, and he was talking about his love for all people. And I hated whites. Man, I had a passion. And it got to this point where I hated blacks. And the thing that Christ taught me was, I love you enough to die for you. And I love everybody enough to die for them. And if I love white people, who are you to hate them? I'm going to tell you, Doc, it took me 16 years to prove it wasn't a white person in the world better than me. If they made an A, I was going to find a way to make A-plus get extra. I wasn't going to let nobody white beat me in anything. That's why I studied so hard, even with my books, because no one's going to call me dumb. And I remember that pill I had to swallow, that I was no better than anyone white.
What a story.
Yeah.
What an inspirational story. And, of course, football was your life.
Oh, yeah.
And you did well in high school and college,
right.
And then went on into the
When I became a Christian, I was worse. I was worse as far as intensity.
Yeah.
Because Christ now is my coach. And, you know, Coach Landry and all those other coaches never could tell if I was, you know, slacking. But God knew every time I slacked.
Is that right? So your football was actually a spiritual thing.
Oh,
you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It showed me how to live life without ever giving up.
And you were drafted by the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
As a linebacker.
As a linebacker, yeah.
Tougher nails.
Hey, I pretended like I was. Because I kind of figured if Christ was a linebacker, he would never miss a tackle. He would never get blocked. He would never miss assignment. And he would never miss an opportunity to have an interception. And that's the way I played. You're supposed to be Christ-like.
Did you witness during that time?
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Yeah.
It was so funny because when I first went to Dallas, like I said, I watched Coach Landry. You know, yeah. You're going to walk your talk.
Yeah.
And he impressed me. That man impressed me
tremendously. Knew him.
Oh, yeah.
He walked his talk. He was a great man.
And yeah. I remember the guys picking on me. You remember Calvin Hill?
Yeah.
The great running back?
Yeah.
They told me, a couple of guys, Newhouse, some of the guys go, well, you know, Calvin, when he came here, he was all gung-ho as a Christian, too. I said, but we're watching you. He said, we're going to get you. I said, well, you better be careful, because I plan on getting you. And before the season was over, Doc, those guys wouldn't go to their drinking buddies. 1 a.m., 12, 2 o'clock in the morning, there were guys knocking on my door saying, hey, Hutch, we need to talk to you. You got something that we need.
You went from there to the San Diego Chargers and the Seattle Seahawks. Mm-hmm. When along the line did the Lord call you to preach?
My senior year in college.
So even when you were a pro ball player, you knew.
Yeah. I didn't want to play pro ball. And my senior year, I knew I was going to get drafted. And I threw up all kinds of obstacles, Doc. I go, okay, if this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. If this happened, this happened, okay, I go to pro ball. But if those don't happen, I'm going to seminary. Because I have been taught that if you're really going to have a ministry, you got to go to seminary.
Yeah.
You know, to this day, I've never been.
Huh.
Never had really? One iota seminary. It just, God wanted to teach me something that seminary couldn't. And it's not good for everyone not to go to seminary, but it was wrong for me. And God kept me out of it. Every year, everything I put up as an obstacle not to go to a pro ball, God answered.
What about the fame and the fortune associated with being a big time?
The only thing that pro ball did was give me a big ego and a nice check.
Well, you eventually had a knee problem. You had to retire.
You know how I got the knee problem?
How?
First 3 years, I go, God, I want to quit. I want to get out of ball. I want to go to seminary. And the third year, after my third season, I go, all right, Lord, I'm yours. I give up talking about seminary. I won't go. I'm going to stay in this stupid game as long as you want me to. That's the year I got my knee hurt, was able to get out because I gave up seminary.
Did you then start the church? Or
No. I started working as a youth pastor.
Yeah.
But I had done that every offseason anyway, so I went from doing it 6 months out of the year to 12. So I told him I went from P-R-E-Y-ing, praying on folks, to P-R-A-Y-ing, praying for folks.
So you started off hating white people with a passion.
Yeah.
And then hating black people.
Oh, yeah.
And hatred now you're a pastor of both because you have an integrated church.
Oh, major. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. So when someone tells me, well, you know, I'm just stuck in my ways or, you know, I was raised that way, I just say, you hadn't met Christ.
Well, where does the courage come from? Where does the willingness to take the heat and take on the cause of righteousness wherever it shows up? I mean, you can be expected to be there whenever right and wrong are in conflict.
Because I don't believe I have an option not to be. If I'm going to be the salt of the earth, anywhere there's an open wound, that's where I should be. And I cannot believe that any Christian can say, well, I shouldn't deal with that unrighteousness.
And you have all kinds of programs in your church that really excite me. Maybe the one that touches me the most has to do with the Antioch adoption service.
Yeah.
You provide adopted children to families at no cost.
No cost.
You've gotten in a lot of trouble about complaining about others charging, don't you?
Oh, my goodness. You should see some of the comments we get when we say, I do not believe that money should be changing hands to give a Christian kid a loving home. It's kind of like you're just moving from one aspect of slavery to another. You know, you're buying that kid, and you can call it what you want. And the law here in the state of Washington proves it's selling. You know, I got an option clause in our state law. It says children cannot be sold or bought. It is against the law except in adoptions.
Huh. It is a form of selling, isn't it?
It is.
How many children do you assist with adoption each
year? In the 7 years that we've been here, we've placed over 300 kids.
Wow.
With no fee.
You proud of that?
I am proud as a punch. God has done an awesome thing with that.
Oh, man. I'm sure there are many others that we could talk about.
Yes, MRI. We got a great drug and alcohol program we want to go where people can get treated for free. We got so many different things we do. We got what we call the Antioch Business and Development, where we try to help people, Christians, get into business and try to help them do it correctly before the Lord.
Are people finding a personal relationship with Jesus
Christ? Oh, my goodness. I mean, that's what it's all about. If they're not accepting Christ, you know, we're wasting our time. Mm-hmm. I want to populate heaven and depopulate hell. That's what church is all about.
Yeah, isn't it interesting, Hutch, that I was born in Shreveport, Louisiana, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of racism in the South generally. And I was never a racist. In fact, I left Louisiana when I was 10 months old. But that's a culture that I came out of. Mm-hmm. You were born in Alabama. You hated white people. Mm-hmm. You know, the chance for you and me
to be
best friends. isn't that the love of Christ?
That is the best way I can say it. That is the power-changing Holy Spirit in two people's lives.
It is. Well, we're going to be in your service tomorrow. I can't wait to be there to hear you preach. I've never had that opportunity. You've been on my program a number of times, and I appreciate you being with us today. But tomorrow I'm going to be there praying for you.
Amen.
And pulling for you. Hutch, you've been through a whole lot physically with this prostate cancer. You wrote in your book, and I want to plug this again, hope is contagious, mm-hmm. trusting God in the face of any obstacle. Mm-hmm. You wrote in this book a whole chapter that says, don't feel sorry for me.
No. I mean, yeah. I was with you're going to love this, Doc. I was with a bunch of pastors about 2 weeks ago, and we was here, and we have a lunch. We have a outreach coming up in several months. And when I came in the room, a lot of the pastors said, oh, you know, it's good to see you. We've been praying for you. And before we get through today, we all would like to pray for you. And I said, you know what, guys? So that would be great. Please don't pray for healing if it's not going to make me like Christ. I'd rather be sick than to be well and not
You really do mean that?
I do, yeah, with all my heart.
Hmm. Are you going to be on the other side on resurrection morning? You going to be there?
Oh, my goodness. I think, I'm hoping that he and I and Louis Armstrong will be playing the horn together.
Will you invite me to be there?
You know we're going to do it. I tell you what heaven's going to be like. White guys on the instruments, black and white singing in the choir, and a black man preaching.
I want to be there, brother.
What a celebration that's going to be.
Thank you, Hutch, for inviting us into your office. And let's go the distance,
We will.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to be the first in line to hear that. What a meaningful time you had together, Dad, with Dr. Ken Hutcherson.
Well, I do every time I talk to him.
It sounds like
he encourages my faith. There's no way for me to describe what his friendship means to me. And, you know, we met in 2004 at a May Day for Marriage rally in Seattle, Washington. Mm. And there were 20,000 people there. And we just became instant friends. And he's friends with everybody. I don't know if you are aware that he and Rush Limbaugh are very good friends mm-hmm. together. Rush calls him and they talk often. He's just a guy you like. Luann, you were there. Did you feel that way?
I agree. And I think he's gained a few more friends even today listening to this. I mean, he exudes warmth and joy and love like we just heard there.
You know, we mentioned at the end of the program last time when we heard the first interview with Hutch that we went over to the Hutcherson's home afterward that evening and had the most wonderful meal. It was soul food, you know, and it's what I remember from my childhood.
Not me. I'm a Yankee.
Yeah, we're going to have to work on you, Lou Ann.
I'm open to that. That sounds good.
Well, we do have some audio, some video, and photos from your time there with Dr. Hutchinson's mm-hmm. family and that meal. Please stop by our website, myfamilytalk.com. We also have his newest book, Hope is Contagious, and we highly recommend it. Our phone number is 1-877-732-6825, 877-732-6825, also at myfamilytalk.com.
And Ryan, let me close by saying that we understand that our listeners can get that book elsewhere, but I hope they'll request it from us to give us a helping hand to continue this work that we're doing. It is needed, and we would greatly appreciate it.